not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello and welcome, initiates, again to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. This is episode 25 and our fifth installment of the We Is Me series. This time we are going to be talking to Kate, who is a longtime friend of my co-host Chass's, and she is an incredibly wonderful, interesting, amazing person. I had the absolute blessing of meeting her and her husband at their woodsy cabin getaway up in the northern parts of Michigan. It was such a fun time. I brought the whole recording studio with us, and we had constant conversations for 3 days straight, pretty much. So it was incredible. I wish we could have just had the recording equipment going the whole time, but we got 3 episodes recorded. This is the first of those 3. A episode with all 4 of us, Chass, myself, Kate, and her husband Wayland, will be coming out on conscious relationships. And then the week after that, We Is Me number 6 will be coming out with Kate's husband, Waylon. But this episode is all about Kate and her wonderful interests. She is the host of the Primal Life podcast. It is all about the primal lifestyle, which involves a lot more than just diet, but we do talk quite a bit about the primal diet in this episode and what that means. She also has an Instagram that is at rootedwellness.primallife. She posts a lot of really awesome educational stuff on living the primal lifestyle, why meat and animal products are not bad for you, like the vegans want you to believe, and so much more. So go check her out. She is absolutely incredible, and this episode is incredible. But before we get to that, remember to give us a follow at Awake Not Woke Podcast on Instagram, at Awake Not Woke Pod on Twitter, and we do have a website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. It would also be amazing if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps others to find our podcast, gives us credibility, boosts the algorithms, all that awesome stuff. And while you're there, give us a follow or subscribe on whatever app you might be using. Our episodes drop every Sunday at 4:44 a.m. So give us a subscribe so you don't miss those when they drop. We also ask that you check out our merch shop on Etsy as of right now. That is Awake Not Woke Podcast on Etsy. That is linked in the show notes. So go check that out for really awesome merch and value for value donations. So what that means is if you find yourself listening to Awake Not Woke Podcast on the reg and you would like to show us what kind of value that you are receiving from this podcast, you can go ahead and put a number on that and reimburse it to us. We have merch that is value for value donation based, so you can choose your own price for a sticker or a hat or a mug, and we have lots of other options on our shop. Really cool stuff. Go check that out. And while you're on Etsy, check out my lovely co-host Chass's shop, 5D Impressions on Etsy. That's 5D Impressions shop on Etsy. She makes hand-stamped jewelry. She's got apparel on there. Lots of cool stuff. She takes custom orders. Go get your girlfriend or your boyfriend something cool. Just go do it. You won't regret it. But I think that's all I have to say. Without further ado, let's get on with the episode. This is the number 5 installment of the We Is Me series with the lovely Kate Bewell. And I am your host, Sarah, with my co-host, Chass. This is episode 25 of the Awake Not Woke podcast. And I hope you enjoy. Peace.
Hi, welcome back to Awake Not Woke podcast. This is Chass and I'm here with Sarah.
Hello.
We're doing a We Is Me episode today with one of my super good friends, Caitlin. I've known Caitlin for the past 8 or 9 years, I think is what we've decided. And she is a incredibly unique, beautiful, strong, and overall just amazing human being, but also fucking woman. So today we're going to get to pick her brain and learn what makes her her, and hopefully some other really cool convos too. I'm pumped.
Wow. Okay. That's a... That is an introduction that
I don't think I deserve. Yes, you do.
Hi, yes. Well, I'm really excited that we're doing this. One thing that I thought, the very first thing I need to say is just how much you guys have inspired me for what I've been doing with everything. And when I heard that you guys were doing this, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then when I finally listened, I was like, okay, this is amazing. And I was like, I need to do this too. I need to jump on the train of spreading info. So
yeah,
you guys have inspired me. So I'm just excited that I get to be a part of it because you guys are doing some awesome stuff. So the fact that I get to be a little blip in the in the whole thing is awesome. So I'm excited.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the first question I like to ask all of our We As Me guests is, how do you define awake and how do you define woke? What do those two words mean in your life?
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's really funny because I was going to bring up a way that you described awake and woke in the first episode. I just resonated with a lot, but I'll try to put it in my own. I'll try to put it in my own terms. So I feel like within my life, I have had the opportunity to go down the path of the woke, like the woke path, mm-hmm. but I don't really know what it was that intersected me. It was just divine intervention to take me to the awakened path, rather. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for me, awake is just an awareness of everything that's going on around me rather than my bias, just focusing on one thing and giving all of my time and attention to that one thing. I feel like awake is more of a generalization of awareness, I guess, of knowing all the different aspects of what you can bring to the table and being awake to your potential,
mm-hmm,
I guess. Sure. And woke would be just clinging on to one thing that you're trying to like make your identity, and then just focusing on that until you get lost in it.
Yeah, and that one thing is often not even like part of your own individual psyche or truth, because a lot of the woke culture is about just regurgitating something someone else has said and saying, like, this is definitely true, like, this is what I believe. And I think it's important to learn from other people, but you have to find what actually resonates like inside of you.
Right.
And that's what like I think awake is.
Yeah. You actually, it's awake to your self realization of what you are and what you're actually putting out and taking responsibility for what you're spreading and what you're doing.
Yep.
Instead of trying to cling on to like what someone else said and just die for it, basically.
Yeah.
Just die for it.
And that can be really hard because that means there's a lot of different truths out there and your truth might change. And it doesn't mean like when your truth when you were 22 is a lot different than your truth when you're like 30 or 40 or 50. But all of those truths are just as true, even though they're all contradictory and different.
Yeah. And I think it's super important to remain in that state of openness to changing your truth
for sure.
Over time and when presented with new information or ideas or experiences, because that's a huge quality of being awake to me. Where woke, I think it's like you were saying, stuck on one ideology or one thing that's maybe put out there for you that isn't necessarily stemming from your personal truth. It's like this assumed truth that everyone gravitates to, and then you stay there and you don't ever grow, and it doesn't matter what happens around you, you're just stuck. Where awake, you're in a state of openness and awareness that those things can evolve and change.
Yeah. Yes. And you have another thing is, as I think about it more, I keep coming up with a new way that you could define awake or woke. Yeah. There's like so many different ways.
No, for sure. That's like, why I love asking that question, because everybody has a different like thing that pops up when they think about this too. And it's not always the same, which makes it interesting because they're all true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another thing with awake, you said something about changing your truth over time.
Yeah.
And when you know your truth, it's like you radiate it without really having to explain it to everybody.
Yeah, or broadcast
it.
When you constantly have to convince everyone around you that what you believe is true, you don't actually believe it's true.
And you're slipping it in.
Validation.
For sure. Yeah, and for woke, it's like you're slipping your ideologies in.
Or like somebody else has slipped their ideologies in. That's what we talked about in the cult episode, because cults, a lot of cults actually have a lot of truth in there. And like we were talking about the Bhagwan, I forget what his church or his cult was called, but he had those 10 commandments and all 9 out of 10 of them were like great.
Solid.
And then there was one in there that was just kind of like, I don't know. And a lot of cults have that. Same with even like Heaven's Gate. I think a lot of like extraterrestrial stuff is legitimate and considerable and you should think about it and talk about it. And lizard people, shapeshifters, it sounds like crazy nonsense, but when you break it down, it makes a lot of sense. But there's always just a little like, wait a minute, where'd you get that part?
Yeah.
Like, let's all kill ourselves to go to heaven is what Heaven's Gate was about. And it's like, that's somebody's ideology that they believe. And what happened was the guy was grieving. And listen to that episode. We go into it a little more. But people accidentally impose their opinions on other people all the time. And when you do that on purpose, you get our government.
Yeah. And questioning it, I think, is like the questioning of truth and the questioning of just everything existence is what stands between being awake and woke. Yes. Because when you're woke, you fully adopt something and you'll fight tooth and nail, even if you may not slightly agree with it.
Yeah. Or if you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's not your battle to fight. You're fighting it for somebody else.
Right. You're fighting. And it's not even, a lot of people who are woke didn't really spring to the idea of whatever they're woke about on their own. Like you said, they're getting it from somewhere
else.
They
were like guilted or convinced otherwise into believing these things. I remember feeling a lot of guilt when I was still in a woke state about just like controversial topics. Where like, oh my God, am I racist? Am I a terrible person for believing or not even that I had beliefs that were like offensive in any way, but because I wasn't constantly feeling guilty, I was convinced that, oh, I must be a terrible person because I'm not constantly feeling white guilt or some kind of controversial guilt that isn't at the forefront of my mind at all times. Or I'm not like super hyper conscious of my words and actions around every single person because, oh God, I might offend them.
Right.
When you're not conscious of those things, it doesn't mean you are automatically being offensive.
Right.
It means you're being a normal person.
And it doesn't even have to be just like politically correct stuff. Like politics. It can be any category can be taken and have awake and woke people in any category. And it can be.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like race or gender or stuff like that. I find it a lot with food.
Yeah.
Like the vegan community.
Yeah. Yep.
And you have a podcast called, do you want to introduce your podcast?
Yeah. I guess we could do that. We just got right into it with the.
I'll add in an intro later, hyping you up. Don't worry.
So the Primal Life podcast, which talks a lot about health and lifestyle from like an ancestral standpoint. And I talk a lot about food because nutrition is like a really big part of it, but it's way more than that. But I do sometimes get on the topic of, I don't really classify it as awake or woke, but I think it can just translate. And
exactly.
You know, like the vegans in the food and health world are part of the woke culture, I think. But it's interesting because they actually might have good intentions. This
For
is like
sure.
a tangent.
No.
Now I'm not even on the
but
podcast
that's,
anymore.
I think a lot of woke people have good intentions.
Right.
Like
yeah.
even like critical race theory, which is really fucked up when you look at it, has good intentions from the people who are trying to practice it.
Right.
The implementers, the people who created this and started interjecting it slowly into our schools and society, they don't have great intentions. But the people who are victims of this brainwashing mentality have good intentions. And same with veganism, which I honestly do think that in some scenarios, people might benefit from a vegan diet. Like there's a lot of like, quote, miracle people who like get off a bunch of medications from eating healthier. But at the same time, they're usually eating less processed foods at the same time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean like not eating animal products is the answer, because a lot of people take vegan and they just go to like Beyond Meat and a bunch of soy products and just like salads and stuff. And they're not really understanding the science of what is good for their bodies. And your podcast talks a lot about the science behind health and why vegan doesn't really make sense on like a physiological level. That's at least one of the topics that I was really interested in, because I've noticed with my personal health, when I eat a little more protein from meat sources specifically and more fats in my diet, I feel a lot better. My digestion is better. And I always thought like, oh, you just need more veggies. You always just need more veggies and you'll be healthier. And that is not quite how it works.
Well, no. Yeah, that's the narrative that you hear though.
Right.
So that's pretty normal for most people to think that. It's the first thing that you would think when you...
And all the vegan documentaries and stuff.
Oh, yeah. All of the documentaries on Netflix and like the Game Changers.
Cowspiracy.
All of these things that I've watched. Well, the Game Changers was recent and I already knew that that was...
Was that the like fitness one?
That was vegan athletes.
Yes.
Like a case.
That
case
one was
for
pretty
vegan.
Good.
Yeah. They did a good job cinematically. Yeah. The only problem I have with it is there was not a single dietitian or nutritionist
right.
on their panel.
Wow.
It was all doctors and former athletes and like trainers.
Got it.
There was no dietitian.
So they're not necessarily focusing on health. They're focusing like on...
They're more on like physique. Like
it. Well, their argument is from a health standpoint that it can make you perform better. That
right.
a vegan athlete, you can perform better and that it actually is better for your health. Of course, that's one of the main vegan arguments.
But just because you perform better doesn't mean it's
better for your health. You're
always.
Right. But the funny thing is you actually don't perform better over time. Our bodies are really, and this is why Game Changers I don't like, because it has since been debunked,
okay.
definitely, mm-hmm. by actual dietitians even, and nutritionists and doctors and other athletes. And actually a lot of the athletes in the Game Changers aren't actually competing anymore because they've been injured. From,
wow.
Yeah. So, and we'd have to look that up.
For sure.
But I know, like,
we make it clear
specifically
on this podcast, we're here to have conversations about things that we've researched in the past.
Right.
That doesn't mean we have all the names and dates
or that we're
down.
Experts.
Right. That's, no. And that's what I try to say too. So, with my podcast, I'm like, I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. What I know is what I know and what's worked for me.
And what you've experienced.
And what I've experienced and what may work right. for other people. But when it comes to things like the Game Changers, it's just hard to be trying to spread the right info. The Game Changers was taken really seriously because it was put on Netflix. It was done
yeah.
really well. But right away in the beginning, they say that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich has the same amount of protein as a steak.
What?
And that it's good enough for an athlete to compete. You don't need steak. You can just eat peanut butter.
And from my
yeah.
from my personal standpoint, again, I eat a lot of peanut butter and I love peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And it does, like, if I haven't eaten all day and I start getting like a headache, a spoonful of peanut butter usually helps at least make me feel better. And then I need to eat more calories later on. But as soon as I restarted eating like high quality meat in my diet again, I wasn't getting enough protein before.
Right.
I thought I was because I was like looking at the labels and reading all the thinking, like calculating, like, oh, I must be getting like this 2 grams of protein here from these vegetables and 3 from here and some from the peanut butter. And they teach you as vegans that that's enough. But as soon as I started getting that high quality complex proteins from meat, it was different.
It is different because it is a different protein. And the issue that I took, so the scene that they do where they're like, look, you can just eat, look at this peanut butter is the same amount
they
of
do
grams.
Like side by side.
Yeah. They're like, okay, I don't know what the grams were. It was like 100 grams. That's kind of a lot of peanut butter, but let's just say 100 grams of peanut butter versus 100 grams of steak. You're going to get, they say it's the same protein amount, but they're 2 different types of proteins. And the peanut butter actually has the anti-nutrients that the steak doesn't have. So you're actually not absorbing all of that protein from the peanut butter that you are from the steak.
Got it.
So when you look at it from that standpoint, like the biological standpoint of what the protein does in your body, steak is far superior, especially for athletes that are taxing their bodies every day and they need to rebuild their muscle fibers. They need the right kind of protein. So you can do it for a short period of time because the body is really good at compensating and making up for what you're lacking for a period of time. And then that's when you see 28-year-old athletes needing to stop competing because they're wrecked.
And you know, a kind of a random thought I'm having right now, I feel
that
like...
That are vegan ones.
For sure. And going off of that, I feel like for short periods of time, and this is absolutely no proof, this is just me like brainstorming. Because for example, my boyfriend got, our chiropractor recommended he go gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, egg-free when he was having some really serious digestion and gut problems. We think he may have gotten mono at some point and like maybe gone into sepsis because he just like his white blood cell count was down.
Wow.
But he went on this almost pretty much vegan diet. He was eating like pretty much just really lean. I think he might have been doing fish or something at the time, but no dairy, no eggs, which can be very good for you. But for a short amount of time, that helped him heal his issue. And then he slowly started introducing these complex grains and gluten back into his diet in ways that made sense for him, and dairy and different like eggs and stuff like that slowly was reintroduced. But that was for a short period of time. It wasn't a long-term thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense what you're saying, because maybe we need to go on healing, like even fasting for long periods of time can help you heal, but it's not good for a long period of time.
Right.
You still need to refuel yourself with things that are healthy.
Yes. And to add to that, cutting things out temporarily too, like doing an elimination type thing, is going to be helpful to see what may be causing you certain inflammation. And also, when you go from the standard American diet,
McDonald's,
the SAD diet,
boxes,
to anything whole foods, you're going to have a health increase.
For sure.
So if you go from the SAD diet, eating McDonald's and Western diet,
TV dinners,
to vegan,
right,
no meat, like straight up vegan, your health is going to improve and you're going to be like, oh, it's because I went vegan. Same thing. If you eat the SAD diet, SAD standard American diet, and then you go carnivore, you're going to be like, oh, it's the meat, it's the carnivore. No, what it really is you're getting rid of the processed crap that isn't real food, and then you're turning to real food.
That's
whether
a lot of
it's
vegetables
or meat. But then when it comes to long term,
like
you need balance.
Your health.
For sure.
Yeah. When it comes to long term, you need balance. So I think, and what my podcast does is I take issue with completely excluding meat. I don't even really take issue with anything else. I don't think, you know, I eat mostly primal. I actually don't eat a lot of vegetables, but I don't think vegetables are bad.
Yeah,
I don't think they're inherently bad, but I just exclude certain things that mess with me and that I get inflamed from.
Yeah.
So, but I would never recommend that to everybody.
And I think that is really, really important to hear that for me. Like, and I think a lot of our listeners would probably feel this as well, because I get so, I'm very Virgo. I have to always bring that up, because for me, I want there to be a system. I want there to be a method. And it is confusing for me sometimes when there's so many different methods, but they're all right. And they're all not necessarily wrong, and they're not bad. Like, you can have more grains and rice and be okay, but somebody else needs way less grains and rice and more fats. And my brain gets all scrambled and it's like, well, which one? Which one is right? Someone tell me.
Right.
And that is really refreshing to hear, because it's giving our listeners and your listeners an opportunity to learn about what worked for you, but you're also giving them the permission to experiment what works for them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in general, you might want to be getting more fats in your diet. That's a great thing.
Yep.
Start with whatever fats you can handle, whether it's avocado or butter or high fat Greek yogurt or whatever kind of fats work for you. But in general, we're saying fats might be good. Maybe you need less fats than your neighbor or your boyfriend or your sister. Like, you might need more protein than them. You might need more carbs. But in general, there is a Whole Foods like theme.
Yes.
Yep. And if you're eating less out of boxes and you're cooking more and you are putting less steps between that plant or animal growing and living to being put into your body, yes, that's like a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. And you're explaining basically what the podcast is really about. Right. I mean, yeah, everything. It's hard for me to just be like, the podcast is about this, because it's so, there's so much to it, because I do talk about,
yes,
food a lot.
For sure.
But also it's about how we evolved as humans,
for sure,
and how it should be our daily lifestyle is, yeah, to eat this way,
that,
and live this way. And you said the fats thing is like also, so it's kind of like, if I took issue with like a couple of things, number one would be excluding meat. That's one thing that I try to preach, is we have to have balance. You have to have plant foods and meat.
And respect for the animals that are giving, yes, their lives. I think a lot of the animal welfare issue comes in because I fucking love animals. Like, mm-hmm, I'm going to have pet pigs and pet, mm-hmm, cows, and I'm going to give them spa days. And now I'm just going to make myself cry over animals. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to eat animals, mm-hmm, because they are still domesticated. And I'm understanding that this is part of the food chain,
yep,
and the natural order of things. And if y'all have ever seen a fucking nature documentary, those things aren't pretty.
No,
those, yeah, are hardcore.
Yep. Also wild game too, like that's it too. It's like,
for
if
sure,
you're gonna be, so we try to, a lot of the woke, like, so this is how it relates with awake and woke as far as health and nutrition goes, because you've got the woke side of food and nutrition, and then you've got the awake side. And I think the woke side would be like vegan, like we said, that thinks that hunting is cruel and that cultivating animals is cruel, but that's how we survived as humans.
That's, yeah, how we got here.
And
we leveled up that way. We learned agriculture. Yes. We learned to domesticate animals, even, yes, dogs.
Like, and the awake side of food and nutrition understands that. They understand that nature is death and hard,
yeah,
and killing. And
being nature
killed
is also life, because, yes, it's a cycle. It's,
yes,
a lot of rebirth. It's, yep, a lot of
with the death comes life and vitality. Because, yep, if you kill the animal on your farm that you have given this life,
yep,
you've enhanced life, you sustained life.
And you've sustained your own life as
through
well.
Through death, you then sustain yourself.
It's like the coyote pack that takes down a deer, and it sucks for like the deer's mom, but like the baby coyotes eat that night.
Yeah.
Right.
And honestly, it really doesn't suck for them that bad. Like,
right,
that mom just moves on. She's, yeah, like, all right, I'm going to find the, yeah, next buck.
Because like, they don't have this,
can,
like,
they're not spiritual like us.
Can I
also,
make, can I
they
make
kill
a,
each other out there. Okay. Not deers, but
can I make
deer,
a random like hardcore like just tangent real quick? Not hardcore,
yeah,
but I just recently learned about birds and how they're babies in the nest. My boyfriend randomly asked me recently, like, how do all the baby birds like poop when they're in the nest? And nature, like, they have a sack that the babies poop into, and the mom just eats it. It's so,
I believe,
crazy.
It.
It's
also
crazy.
She kicks them out too.
For
like,
sure.
She'll like give them a little wing slap, like, it's time for you to get out.
Birds are fucking nuts.
They don't care if that baby bird breaks its neck on the, mm-hmm, ground. Like,
just a random tangent I had, because I learned that and it was like, holy shit, that's like,
yeah,
the most hardcore recycling I've ever heard.
Yeah, they do some savage stuff. And in nature, it's, and with the woke vegan culture too, they're like, oh, I'm one with the animals. I want to be, you know, I want to be part of that harmony. Okay, well, they kill each other savagely,
exactly,
with their teeth and their nails. So,
right,
if you want,
right,
to be like that, you got to be like that. And that's the awake side of it, when you understand,
sure,
that there's death in order to have life.
Mm-hmm.
And the woke side of food and nutrition is like, acting like that's not a thing. There's even people who eat meat who think hunting is bad and they don't want to see an animal being killed. But it's like, you eat that, and the fact that there's that disconnect, I think, is where a lot of our health problems come from too.
I've experienced a lot of people like that, where I will be talking with a group of people and I'll say like, no, I don't want to eat meat from like a conventional grocery store because I haven't seen how it was killed, and I'd rather see and know how this animal lived its life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather just wait until, yeah, I can eat something that's more clean in that way.
Yeah,
and people,
true,
will call me fucked up. They'll be like, that's like hardcore, dude. That's gross. I don't want to see it killed.
Yeah.
Like, and they'll call me like disturbed,
yeah,
because I want to be at the hand that kills it, or at least somebody I know that has the hand.
To have a hand in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the disconnect, and that's how we get this ungratefulness for our food, and that's where we start to see our prey animals as humans. Like, we look in their face and we see our dog. Like, you look at a cow and you see a dog, or you see, because it looks, you know, it's got eyes and it has that same structure of a domesticated animal. But the fact that there's the woke culture saying that, you know, factory farming is bad, which I think is what our focus should be. But that doesn't equal humans don't eat meat.
It should equal we all start to localize our meat. Yes. We have local farmers, and then we start to section off those skills. So someone's growing this kind of vegetable, someone's raising chicken, someone's raising pig, and then we're all trading and living off of our own local food. But that requires everybody to actually be invested in their health and their consciousness.
And be thinking about that shit to begin with.
That's exactly what I mean. Nobody wants to think about that. Everybody just wants to be mindlessly driving up to a McDonald's window and not think about what's in their food.
That's exactly true.
Because it's easy. And when you're tired after working these 8-hour days, 5 days a week.
It's planned.
It's almost like they planned it,
right? Huh. They structured it. But yeah, that's a lot what the podcast talks about too, is the mindset of it all. So it's not just
So what are
eat
some
this,
other things in this lifestyle that fit in with the kind of diet that you particularly advocate for?
And that's hard because I eat a certain way because I know that it works for me. And like you mentioned, that some people could eat more grains than others and not see an effect. So for me, I know that when I eat grain, which would be, you know, if anybody's not familiar with grains,
whole
I feel like
grains,
most people do, even whole grains. Yeah. Like, you know, breads, you know, you got wheat, you got crackers,
oats.
You got pasta, you got oats, you got all of that. Any type of boxed, bagged, bready type anything, that would be a grain. And I know that when I include that in my diet on the regular.
Do you include like rice?
I don't do rice.
Okay.
That's just me.
Right.
Because
for sure.
I know, and rice would be a grain. And I know that when I eat it on the regular, I'm bloated. I'm inflamed. I break out. And it's because I think, well, that's also where a lot of like gluten intolerance comes from too.
For sure.
Because gluten is a type of lectin that like leaches your gut lining actually and goes into your bloodstream. So that's, and then your body starts attacking that gluten, and that's celiac. Well, celiac, it only gets diagnosed. It's very rare.
I know. Yeah.
But a lot of people say they have like a gluten intolerance, and that's where that comes from. So as far as grains go, honestly, I think all people have a grain intolerance, but I think that some people and cultures have built their body up to be able to tolerate it
because of
genetics and evolving over time. And there's certain grains that are like ancient grains
that
we've had from the start of civilization and agriculture.
Or even like sourdough breads.
Yep, sourdough, because it's fermented. Yeah. That is probably the one and only that I would do often, like
even you think about like the history of that, sourdough bread is made from a sourdough starter that is often passed down in families.
Right.
It's still coming from this long thought form of consciously always being aware of your health. Mm-hmm. And even when there was like colonial days and we were making like pies from our garden beds that we had out front, that was probably a sourdough crust. It was probably raspberries and blackberries that were grown there.
And handmade that day.
And the barely any sugar that they got was from like a few sugar canes or something grown down by the river.
So that's the concept. Yes, that's the concept of the primal life, which the podcast is called Primal Life. Podcast. I forgot. Primal Life Podcast. And it talks a lot about how we have to get back to that ancestral base, just like you said, where we grew it, we made it from scratch, we passed it down. And with sourdough, it's fermented too. So it actually is alive, like the bread itself.
And
so it feeds your gut. Whereas other bread, like even whole wheat, is dead. The right. nutrients have been killed and processed out of it. So that's the issue I take with grains, because most grains that you're going to find are heavily processed. And it's basically just giving you a blood glucose spike every time
and
you eat
whole grains. A lot of people think whole wheat bread is so much better. But if you're getting conventional whole wheat bread, the hull is not removed from the grain. And there's so much glyphosate in that grain. Yeah. Like white bread, if you're talking about like the shittiest of all shit breads, Wonder Bread that's like white and bleached is almost better for you than a whole grain bread that's made with shitty conventional grains, because they're like just chocked full of GMO.
Yeah, the way that it's processed and even grown from the start. Like the wheat crop itself is probably sprayed heavily with pesticides. So then it's processed and then you're eating it. You're eating the pesticides. So there's a whole spectrum of things with grains and things like that. So, but I hate to really demonize anything, but I would take a stance for myself and also for clients, like doing health coaching. I would recommend cutting out grains, at least trying it for, because a lot of the people who would be coming to the Primal Lifestyle are people who have tried things like everything that you would think. They tried vegan, they tried keto, they tried carnivore, they tried all this, but what the Primal Life is it's basically like paleo, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically paleo, because it's anything that grows from the earth or anything that you could make out of, you know, just with a few, putting together a few things, you know, like butter, of course, doesn't grow straight from the earth, but it comes from a cow that eats from the earth.
And you churn it.
And you just process it with your hands. You don't add stuff.
It's one step.
Yeah. So it's all that kind of stuff, and it's very fat focused. So the first thing I said about one thing I take issue with is excluding meat. And the second thing I take issue with, well, I guess the first thing really would be excluding fat, which goes along with meat, because meat has fat. But women specifically, there's this low fat lie that we've been fed that has messed so badly with our hormones, which has led to so many things. I think even into the political realm of things at this point, our hormone dysfunction. So, and that's basically a lot what the podcast talks about, is how can we get back to being whole and eating whole foods and feeling whole. And it's also the lifestyle you live, you know, sleeping and the environment that you live in, the people that you're around and what you spend your time doing. So that's kind of the podcast and the idea. But
so if you could, like, if somebody was just kind of listening to this, wanted to give the Primal Life or some of the suggestions and things that you've said today, they wanted to try it for a week. That's probably not long enough to get like a true understanding.
But like a crash course.
But like a crash course. Like a 7-day, I'm going to do this for 7 days and I'm going to see what I feel like. What would you tell them to do for those 7 days?
So I would... It's hard to do like a blanket. Yeah, I would say, so it's like, it takes at least like 21 days.
Okay, so like a month of this.
So I would say, you'd have to give it a month, because your body has to maneuver. And what's happening is, so I should mention this too. The whole idea is to get your body thriving off fat rather than glucose.
Got it.
So most people, after you're breastfed, bottle fed, whatever, you know, you start getting baby cereal. You start getting baby food that's been pre-made with like added stuff. And so babies are actually born in ketosis, which is interesting. And they're running off ketones, which is
that's
a type
like the
of
keto diet, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
So babies are born using fat as fuel. So then we all of a sudden switch them to glucose. And I think that's where a lot of health problems come from.
For sure.
Number one. But it's getting back to that natural state of thriving off fat. So it's a very fat-based diet. So it takes your body a pretty long time, especially if you're, you know, even in your 20s, you eat a high glucose diet and you're trying to be more fat-fueled, which there's more benefits than just weight loss is the thing. There's hormone regulation and
mental clarity.
Mental clarity.
Better sleep, probably.
Clearing up acne, better sleep, inflammation, joint health, bone health, all this stuff. So basically, it takes longer to get your body regulated to thriving off fat. So I would say 21 days. But it's hard to put a blanket recommendation, because everybody comes into it with different things. So if somebody had like a metabolic disorder, if they were overweight, I might recommend something to them. Whereas if someone was underweight, I might recommend something else to them. But the main thing is just try cutting out grains.
Okay.
Try cutting out processed foods and up your protein, your animal protein and your fat. And upping animal protein will also naturally up your fat.
Got it.
It will naturally up your fat. But getting rid of the grains and the vegetable oils. Those are the two things. And vegetable oils, you know, those are things like canola oil or, you know, soy bean oil. All that stuff that's in processed food. And that's because it's a processed fat.
What about like avocado oil, olive oil?
Yeah. So those are a little bit different because they have a higher smoke point.
Okay.
And they're not. They're not industrialized.
They're not as processed.
They're not as processed.
High heat, whatever. Yes,
they're coming straight from like the fruit itself. Okay.
Got it.
So whereas like corn and soy oil, that's a vegetable that has proteins in it that we're not really meant to be digesting actually.
Okay. For sure.
So they turn rancid when they get heated.
You know, it's funny you say that because I saw some like a TikTok or something of someone saying like a conspiracy about corn.
Right.
And they were like, it goes through your digestive system completely untouched. It's like there was all these other
like a filler.
Yes. Yeah.
It's literally animal food.
And it's there's the corn that we have today too, because there was like the Native American corn.
But like corn, the corn we're feeding our factory farmed animals, it plumps them up. It makes them lazy. Yep. It makes them super like unhealthy.
Isn't that funny? We feed our livestock grain.
And then we feed our population grain. To fatten them. Yes. Exactly. We're all just a bunch of livestock for the elite ruling class.
Yes, they get grain. Livestock get grain to fatten them up. Like usually it's at, you know, just before they're harvested. The end.
Yep. Yep.
They get like some grain to fatten them up. So that's what's happening to humans. But not all humans get fat from grain. They actually just get internal systemic inflammation.
Yes.
Which will process as Alzheimer's, arthritis, acne, cognitive issues, and I would even argue some chronic illness that is not necessarily obesity
it's,
related.
It's really interesting to hear you say all this too, because my dad is not the healthiest. He eats a decent amount of carbs, but my whole life he has loved red meat more than anything, and he will just have a burger patty with some cheese on it and literally no bun or anything else. And I used to think like, oh dad, you're gonna get cholesterol, you're gonna get a heart attack, but he is cognitively more aware. Even if he's pretty woke, he's still more cognitively there than most people his age. I think he's like 66 now.
Yeah.
So he's getting up there, and like, he's pretty woke, but he's still a lot more there in the head and health wise. He's still fat. Like he's not the healthiest, but it's interesting to even hear all this, because it does make connections with, even though he like binges on crap every now and then, his brain health is still a little more there than some of the population.
And that's that. I like that you said that, because another thing I would say is sometimes also I'm even more concerned with making sure to add in certain things rather than take things away.
Yeah.
So like if grains aren't necessarily hurting you in a way that you see is enough to get rid of them, I would say something like, okay, we'll just up your animal protein,
because
that's really important. So that has probably supported his brain health.
And he always brags that when he had really high blood pressure, he went to the doctor and they tried to give him some medication, and he is on blood pressure medication.
Yeah.
But he started really increasing his fish and omega fatty acids intake, and he lowered his blood pressure by like a couple points. And the doctor was like, are you taking that medication? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
And the doctor was surprised that my dad was able to lower his blood pressure. Yeah. And that was fatty foods.
Yeah. And what's interesting is because we need cholesterol. Also, our liver makes cholesterol every day. And if you leave cholesterol out of your diet, your liver will go into overdrive cholesterol mode, and you'll be getting more cholesterol than is natural. So if you go on a vegan diet, your liver is going to be like, crap, we need cholesterol. So let's go, like, let's go, boys. Like, we're going to go crazy with this cholesterol. And so that's how you get
in the car. We're making cholesterol.
So your liver is like, all right, you're going to go vegan. We're going to take care of this. And it'll supplement the cholesterol. And then what happens is it's actually the bad cholesterol.
Right.
Because you're not giving yourself enough good cholesterol, which comes from animal foods.
For sure.
Which the good cholesterol actually cleans up the bad cholesterol and takes it out. So when you eat animal foods, you're upping your good cholesterol. And when you eat things like fake fats, like in processed foods and
which
soy and corn,
which is what they're feeding us,
you're upping your bad cholesterol. So, and that was my third point, was the ratio that we have had in the United States between like the good fatty, like fatty fish oils versus like the PUFAs, the polyunsaturated fatty acids, which is like the veg oils. So we're consuming too many veg oils, not enough good fatty, you know, oils that come from meats and fats like butter and fish.
And another,
it's that balance that's causing a problem.
Another argument I always hear from vegans is like, well, the animal you're eating is just eating the vegetables, because like cows and chickens and pigs are all vegetarian. So just eat the vegetable. But at the same time, the cow and the chicken and pig are processing it for us, correct? Right. And then when we eat the flesh of that animal, we get the nutrients they absorbed, and it absorbs even better.
100%. So ruminant animals like cows and, you know, sheep, they have a gut system set up to digest.
They have like four fucking stomachs or whatever.
And that's how you see cows like chewing cud, because they regurgitate it, they re-chew it, and then they swallow
it
again.
It's like the birds.
Barf.
Like the birds.
Yes, in order to digest
but also,
it.
Also, thank God.
Yeah, right? So they...
Literally.
Yeah, and they process those nutrients that come from the grass, because we can't go straight to the grass. Our gut will just poop it out. We're not going to get the nutrients. But what the cow is doing is he's like our middleman and is absorbing the nutrients from the grass. And then we actually get it from things like raw milk. Raw milk actually has the highest, I think it's like the phyto nutrients or whatever that, you know, you get from greens that we actually can't digest because of being humans. You can get it from the raw milk of cows in like the most beautiful form that you wouldn't get from just straight up eating the grass.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So they have a really important place in our life. So yeah, that's what the podcast talks about a lot.
So, okay. So I'm trying to be primal for a month. First thing I'm going to do.
I forgot.
No, this has evolved, and it's
touched
great.
On
this
so
is
so many
such a good
other
aspects, because I have listened to your podcast and episodes, and I do know kind of like, I feel like I have some things laid out that you might recommend, but I do want everybody else to hear it from you.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's cut out processed shit. Get out of the boxes.
Less grains.
Potentially up your animal protein, fat intake.
Yes.
But outside of the kitchen. So outside of like what we're ingesting as far as food goes, like what other things are you quote unquote ingesting or implementing into your life that would encompass this idea of primal, sustainable living? Like, do you have a TV? Like, do you guys like, are there like basic?
That's a
okay.
Great,
that's
know
a really
I mean?
Good question, because I think a lot of times when I talk and I say primal, it's like I'm just living out in a shack or something and
like
doing ignoring the world. And I'm just like walking around and like using my toes to swing from trees. No, we have a TV. Yes.
Can we just pretend like that's
what
we do?
Let's just pretend.
Let's
just
end just
make
end
that
it now.
Like the cover for
okay.
this.
She's Tarzan.
That's it. I wish. No, but no, it's we live very like, and that's why I try to say a lot in my podcast. I'm not trying to be like, I hate modernization. Like, I demonize it forever.
Right. And that's an important conversation.
I try to say, like, I don't want to demonize modernization because it's how I'm even doing what I'm doing. Like, I mean, I have to give amazing props to people who have invented this world. So I never want to be like, they're stupid. I wish we were just living in caves because I like my shower.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Like being able to embrace this state that we've evolved into.
Yes. And we learned how to do so many things that I take advantage of. Like I just said, showering and, you know, everything, cars. I drive to work. We have a TV. We binge, you know, we watch Netflix.
Right.
And we do all that stuff. But it's what you do to still make your life meaningful and pursue your purpose otherwise. And that's where the primal life comes in. And I like calling it primal. Well, first of all, I didn't make that up. But I like to keep with that primal label because it just resonates with me.
Yeah.
Because I feel it's a spiritual thing, and that's why it...
And that kind of brings us full circle with Awake Not Woke.
That's why I'm even here talking to you guys, because in order to be connected with your health and your body, you like, you know, we're in this plane of existence, and in order to live it fully and really be here and be present and make the most of it, you want to be in this health and longevity.
It's a trinity.
Yeah.
It's the body is just as important as the mind, as just as important as the spirit. Right. And just because we want to have conversations about all three of those, it doesn't make any one of them less important.
Yeah.
And I think the primal lifestyle is unintentionally or kind of intentionally, not as like explicitly, but it's incorporating all those things.
It is. It's spiritual. It's like, it's the epitome of spirituality and divinity within nature.
And I think what's important too, at least from my understanding thus far of the primal lifestyle, you said intentionally versus unintentionally. I think it's both, because when you look back to this, if we're talking primal, like ancestral, I guess, they didn't have the distinction was there naturally, body, mind, spirit, but it wasn't like separate things that they tended to, because their lives were so based in this lifestyle that it touched all three of those. It catered to it naturally. Yeah. So like intentional, yes, but unintentional because you didn't have to think about it.
And if you are already living in that harmony of the Trinity, of the, not the dualism that we're constantly stuck in now, which is like just back and forth between suit sides, like that's it. Mm-hmm. When you are actually conscious, you naturally become aware of that third perspective, which is transcendence. It's not the same as this physical reality. And when you're always just body, mind, that's kind of like a woke perspective.
Yes.
And you will unintentionally fall into those woke traps where you think you're on the right side, and then you start to kind of question, well, maybe that side has some good points. And that's when you're demonized or confused or you switch sides, and then you keep switching back and forth. That's like this constant battle. And the primal lifestyle, like, just naturally balances that.
And like you were saying, it's like naturally curated just by the way that you have to live your life. And they had to live their life that way. So now in modern times, we have the option for comfort,
which is why you have to focus on all three.
Yes, we have the option for comfort. Like with our TV, I could sit inside all day and watch whatever, like but I have to physically be like, all right, no, I need to set my boundaries. And that's where we've kind of come into this weird rock in a hard place, because some people would be like, well, wouldn't it just be easy then? Wouldn't it just be easy to go and live a primal life? And no, it's not. Not now, because
never easy. They were just used to the hard work.
Yeah. Because there's people who will say like, well, I don't like doing this. And if it was meant to be this way, don't you think I would like doing it? Okay. Well, no, we've had years of deprogramming us from walking barefoot. Like walking barefoot is one thing that I would say is definitely something in the primal life, is like grounding to the earth and walking in the grass. And some people are like, no, like we have shoes for a reason. We have to wear shoes now. This is 2021, blah, blah, blah. But that's where I think the trying comes in. And they're like, well, if we were supposed to be walking barefoot, don't you think shoes would have never been invented? Like that kind of mentality that is like, no, we have to try. We have to try now. And this is one thing I always say with the taste of foods and how we've kind of gotten meat deprogrammed out of our taste buds. And people are like, I just can't stand the taste of just like eating steak every day. Well, it's because we've had it deprogrammed. Also, sometimes you have to get creative, like wild game though, because we weren't just only eating cow. We were eating deer and rabbit and squirrel and anything that we could find. So that's why getting into hunting is another
thing. It's interesting you even say that too, because I've never thought of myself as someone who like craved meat. Like I said before, my dad loves red meat, loves steak, loves burgers. But the things I did weirdly like as a kid were kind of hardcore. Like I loved venison. I liked ribs. I'm a small female. I don't need a lot. But what I did eat like was really nourishing as a kid. And I like somehow at some level understood like this rack of ribs, even though I can't even finish this whole thing, is so satiating for my growing little body.
And you know, we have to force children to eat their vegetables. You know that whole concept?
That's like, actually,
isn't that interesting? Why do we have to force? Don't you think it would be inherently like, yes, give me that broccoli. Like I need it for my health.
But we're giving them like chicken nuggets and they're like, fine, I guess I'll eat this chicken nugget when they really want. Like,
well, and it's because of the flavor has been catered to our taste buds. Right. And that's what they do. That's what this food industry has done.
That's so interesting.
They have scientists. Yeah. They have like taste bud scientists to make you crave it and want it, because it will mimic something. I mean, it is chicken.
Right, right, right. right. But it's, you know, not, it's still like
a, but it's a deep trick, fried.
It's brainwashing.
Yeah, yeah. It's yep. trick. It's tricking.
Tricking. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
My niece, when she was like a baby, would just take bites out of onions. Mm. Like just fucking loved just onions.
Yes.
And it's interesting how kids are kind of just like.
Yeah. There's like self-led weaning that, you know, you could let babies do and they'll gravitate to meat and fat and they'll gravitate, you know, they do, babies love fruit and some veggies, but there's certain ones that parents feel like they have to force. And I'm just like, don't you think it would be intuitive as a baby? Everything's intuitive as a baby.
Right.
Babies know when it's time to learn to walk. You don't have to be like, all right, it's time to walk, unless they have a cognitive deficit or something like that. But most babies know, you know, they stand up and they're like, it's time to walk. So, you know, that you would think that other things would be self-led, like food. So yeah,
that's just so interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, as far as the primal life goes, it's all about that intuition. So that kind of plays into that, is like letting the body sort of choose what works. And it's intuitive. And just like you said that our ancestors didn't have to think about it. They weren't forcefully making themselves go for a walk because they had to do some exercise.
They were trying to get fucking water.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to go get water, and it was a harsh life for sure, but it kept the whole system running in synchronicity, I guess. And nothing was out of balance. Of course, you know, we weren't always perfect as humans, but I think that we did have a symbiotic relationship with nature that we don't have anymore.
One thing that I do kind of want to open up a conversation, and I do feel like it's still encompassing under this primal label, if you will. We have talked a lot about different things in relation to our womanhood. And I think that we are going to be touching on this a bit more, and we're going to do an episode with your husband, and it'll be on your husband.
Oh my God.
with just about conscious relationships and things of that nature. But I mean, sitting here, three women, and discussing these topics that are so important, and like having the opportunity to pick one another's brain and then grow from these things that we're learning from one another. I would love to hear from you what you're a woman, but what makes you that from a primal stance? Mm. So intuition is something you mentioned, you know, but like specifically in relation to being a strong fucking woman, and like, why is that important and inherent to this primal lifestyle?
Yeah. And why it is important and relates with like what you guys are doing and with Awake Not Woke, because being awake to your true feminine energy, I think, encompasses everything, health, food, everything with the primal life,
right?
You know, all of the different primal practices, and being awake to your female power is all a part of that. And I think what that is for me, I would have to say standing strong in the fact that I know my role as a woman in the world gives me the power. It actually doesn't make me feel like I'm less because I have this woman duty, which I think happens a lot. Like, women think it's less to be doing, like, they think that telling women that they should be, you know, doing the cooking and the cleaning and the housemaking, like we've talked about before,
right,
is like degrading,
or like an insult,
reason.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like degrading, and of course it can be turned that way. I feel like people can be like, you know, women belong in the kitchen because they're not good at anything else.
But
that can happen.
That's like,
that can happen.
We have this toxic masculinity culture. There's also toxic femininity.
Yes,
though.
I think that's worse.
And the whole like women get in the kitchen. Yeah, that's definitely toxic masculinity, because the man should be like, oh, thank God there's food. I've been working outside all day. This woman is a blessing.
Right, and that's where the real
like the change of mindset is, it's not I'm in the kitchen to just serve him.
Yeah.
It's I'm in the kitchen because he wouldn't be fucking
alive. To sustain
life.
And I'm a boss and I can do it the
exactly.
best.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't
like,
tell
that's
you.
That's the number
you
one
You can
thing.
Woman better than your husband.
Yeah. See?
Yes.
That, and that's exactly it. Like,
and they
why?
Can man better than us.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
And that's great.
You're
not worried.
Chas's husband opened up a pop can for like a soda bottle for me last night. Like, it was nothing. And it was like, these are the reasons why we have stronger men and more sensitive women.
Yeah.
We are intuitive. We know how to cook the food correctly. They know how to hunt the food correctly. Yes. It's a very different role in society. There's no reason that's a bad thing. We don't have to be, I don't need help opening this pop can. I'm just going to do it. Oh my God, my stink bug friend came with me.
I know. He's hanging out.
No, this is great.
He's been hanging out here for a minute.
I just noticed him.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I think that's where, like, standing in your power and how you, like, the power that that gives you as a woman, like, you have the power over feeding people and making people strong.
Yeah. Like, and listen to just, like, feel the energy change from when we were saying, get in the kitchen, just make me a sandwich, to I am keeping you alive. I am sustaining life. That is the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like the old saying that two people can be standing next to each other and observe completely different things
right
in front of them.
And if you are a lady that has a man in your life that's like, just get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich, like, you're just with a bad
soy
person
boy. You're with a pussy.
You're just
man.
With a bad person, and there's actual real actual real men out there who
that right
appreciate-
there is a man who is not comfortable with his masculinity.
Right.
He has to feel superior and overbearing instead of just going, I just fucking cut down a tree. I don't need to prove anything to you.
Yeah,
like
right.
that's a real masculine energy. And that's exactly like we're saying with reframing our femininity, reframing masculinity. It's not masculine to beat your fucking wife. It's masculine to go and kill an animal for her and bring it to her and ask her to make you a stew. That's real masculinity.
Yeah, because then like she can do the magic. Like the cooking is like magic. It's like making things with magic.
And oh my God, we could literally get into kitchen witchery.
One other thing that I wanted to mention too with this femininity, primal nature topic is that we talk about the collective a lot, and these collective consciousnesses and symbols and things that have been put into our lexicons and collective just genes fucking spirit shit where it's like when you embrace when you embrace these principles that we're talking about, you're not just embodying your own power now, you're embodying the power of all of the women before you.
Yes.
And I just got goosebumps because that is such, that enhances our, we all have our own individual power, but it goes back to the concept of we're all pieces of God having an experience.
Yeah. We're all reflections.
And it's like passing things down, you know, like passing down any type of heirlooms. It's
or recipes.
Yeah. And the spirit that gets passed down and you can harness, and that's the thing that I'm trying to do. So with primal, I want to harness that strong, that archetype of like the strong woman that cared. And she was like the curator of life. And the crazy thing is if women actually harness their power as women and stop trying to be men for some reason, like trying to be like, I can do that job,
like opening jars and shit,
silly. Go ahead, do it,
right.
You can do that.
But your man might not be around, so you got to figure it out how to do it. But at the same time, when you're in a partnership and if you're both there are things that require strength and there are things that require softness,
right?
And that's why the whole cooking thing is a beautiful metaphor, because I just recently made a pot of chili for my boyfriend, and he was having a really tough week, had a lot going on, so I surprised him and made it. We were gonna make it together, and he just was like, how did you make it taste so good? And I'm like, love, intuition. It sounds like it's like when your mom makes your lunch with
it's
love.
Fucking true,
it's
though.
Real though.
Yeah.
And it's not just like a superficial like, I love you, so I'm making you. It's like a deep feminine, like, I knew exactly how much spice to put in here. I knew exactly when to pull this off the heat and to add more fat and to add this, that, and the other thing. I knew how long to brown the meat before I added in the beans or the tomatoes.
Right.
It's a literal magical process. And when you make it with magic and intention, it tastes better and it sustains you better.
And it feeds you and it nourishes you.
And again, the man.
Body, mind, and spirit.
The man can come in and make that same chili and it might do the same thing on like a physiological level, but it might not taste as good. It might not nourish the soul as good.
Yeah. And as women are the growers of life. Like, we have within us to grow humans. Make something
life.
So we have the ingredients, of course, like the men add their little piece of ingredient, but we do all the mixing and the growing and the cooking, and we know the right
they're the
stuff.
Instigators.
Yeah. And they're there as support, and they're there yep. like to help along the way. And of course, they're just as much a part of it. But, you know, it
goes
back to that.
I love that meme when there's like the girls cooking in the kitchen and then the man trying to be helpful and he's just holding the spoon.
Yeah.
He's like just there for like
and
support.
Yeah. And that's not to say that men can't be good cooks because they are. But the thing about it is what else comes with it? Like, you know, what else is coming with it? And from the standpoint of Primal, it's more like the carrying on for generations
yes.
is what and you can look at it.
That's like. Interesting you even say that too, because when you think of like famous chefs, it's a lot of men.
Right.
But they're running a kitchen.
Right.
They have a bunch of people working under them, and it's a very alpha male environment. I mean, yeah. we all know Gordon Ramsay. Like, he's just fucking barking at people, and that's a little over exaggerated, but like, those men are in a war zone.
Yeah.
They're not in a kitchen.
The stress and working as a server, seeing it.
They're not
firsthand.
In like a loving household that's like nourishing people.
Right.
They want to make. Fancy ass and honestly
like an assembly line
fancy
to,
food right. usually doesn't paid. Taste that good in my opinion like when you
not
go
always.
To like I mean they it, not always but like when you go to like a 7-course fine dining type restaurant you get very small plates they don't fill you up they're very like science based there's a lot of like new technology
and it's
and like
presentation based too
and it's an art form but it's the masculine version of this and it has nothing to do with nourishment
and they're on like an assembly line type of deal
literally
like,
exactly.
one guy's got the cold stuff one guy's got and it's like
they're
all
on
making
meats. They're on
five
arms.
Different people had a hand on that plate whereas in the kitchen like one woman has a hand on a full table of feast and like that's why and my argument for Thanksgiving
oh my god I was literally thinking Thanksgiving
the best Thanksgiving meals are the one that come from the same woman in the same kitchen rather than like a bring your own potluck it doesn't
work. I
totally
agree
A Thanksgiving where it all had the same hand on it and they were all made with a purpose in the same fashion is the best. And that can be said for the way that women create life and keep a home and keep life going. So it's not just food, but like who's there as the comforter? Who's there as the peacemaker and the like bringing together? And, you know, the man is there as the sturdy and the foundation and like taking care of like the hard stuff. And women have to take care of a lot of hard stuff, but I mean like the physically hard stuff.
But it's the balance again. Yeah. Like physically birth is not easy.
Oh yeah.
But like also we're not physically made to be lifting heavy objects and doing all this like heavy labor. We are made for nourishment. Mm-hmm. So our heavy labor is birthing, taking care of children, taking
and the
care
mental
of, for sure
part of it is our heavy burden that we have, and that's how it comes. That's where it comes full circle with Primal too. Is also it's taking care of yourself to be that for other people.
I love that you said that. One thing I have, I'm definitely interested in moving towards this Primal lifestyle myself. In the sense of where I'm at right now is learning to take care of myself, and you can't pour from an empty cup. So how I, you know, I'm not going to be rushing into this like, yeah, I'm going to be a fucking nurturer tomorrow. No, because I have to nurture myself. And coming from years of fucking body dysmorphia, societal pressures, lies I've just believed and told myself over time through habitual chronic negative thinking are now suddenly starting to shift because I'm coming from an aspect of nourishment and of love and of that intuitive state. And it's allowed me to step back from this. You know, we talked about this in our Dark Night of the Soul episode, but I really feel like from a talking strictly on body image, which is a very relevant topic in society. There's a body positivity movement. There's eating disorders. There's all these crazy things. But where I'm at right now is evolving out of that and learning that this is the vessel that holds the most beautiful thing imaginable. And
yes.
if I am that most beautiful thing, like I have to take care
what
of this
body. What am I doing for it? Like, what am I doing for this?
How am I going to keep it alive?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm here to do, is to keep this shit alive.
And being responsible instead of just checking out and being like, whatever happens to me happens. Instead
not
being like
fucking drifting, like Andrew's podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it really all, I think that's what's so special and beautiful to me about this primal lifestyle and why it's resonating with me so hard, especially at this time in my life too.
Right.
Because I am, I just turned 30. I don't think I've ever actually said my age on here, but yeah. I just turned 30.
Woo.
And I think this is a very special time for me because I am arriving into my womanhood.
Yes.
And your Saturn return. Mm-hmm. You're right smack dab in the middle of it.
On top of all of it, it's from this awakened perspective. And
yeah.
Thank God.
Thank fucking God.
And that's it. That's it. It's the awake perspective on food and nourishment and your body and responsibility for your body.
And respect.
And respect for your body. And that's where food even ties in with this, because you hold a piece of food in your hand, and like with primal thinking, you're like, you look at it and you're like, I'm so thankful for this because I'm about to eat this, and the fat in this is about to help me to get energy. Yep. The protein in this is about to help me to build up my muscles and also get energy in all different ways and sustain me this way, give me this kind right. of benefit. Whereas when you look at something dead, like a processed food, it's not doing anything besides like just adding to the blindfolds,
right.
I feel like. And you're not taking responsibility for the fact that you're choosing that food, you're choosing to put it in your mouth, and you know
right.
what it is and what it's doing.
And by that mindset too, everything in moderation.
Right, exactly.
Which I think exactly. that's where a lot of people who want to take this next serious step into being a healthier person are like, but I still want to have snacks sometimes.
Yeah.
That's the first question I asked Caitlin when we first started talking about this. I was like, but do you guys still have pizza sometimes?
Yeah, I laughed so hard. She's like, but do you still eat pizza? And that's the thing too. It's like when it's prioritized.
Yes.
When you prioritize the processed foods over the whole foods.
For sure.
That's where you have the problem.
That's huge.
And that's even where the primal, and that's even where my health coaching comes in, because my thing that I'm trying to help educate people is to shift their mindset and to shift their priorities. I would never tell somebody, you're never going to eat cake again. Like, you're never, you can't right. ever do that. No, I may not, but that's just because of what I know and what works for me. But somebody else, I'm not going to be like, you're never going to do that. Life is long and we're all going to die. So I'm not going to be that person that's like, you can never have this again. No, I'm going to be
and
the person.
And that's all or nothing. And that's just.
No, and I don't like all or nothing. And I was also going to bring up how I don't even necessarily recommend a full carnivore. Like, I right. don't even really recommend going completely all meat. Some people do that have autoimmune disease, though, and it works wonders for them.
Yeah.
So maybe, and I might have a client.
But just like some people do really well with rice and some grains in their diet. Like, again, my boyfriend has a super fast metabolism.
Right.
He always has.
Right.
And when he's working in a high cardio environment,
mm-hmm.
he literally needs to have at least some kind of rice or some sourdough bread or something along those lines, or he just loses weight like crazy.
Yeah.
And even keto, because you're in that ketosis,
right.
like he just loses weight
yeah.
if he's eating too much fat and protein and not enough carbs. So like he is a very specific situation. Could it be his genealogy? Could it be his specific DNA?
Yep.
Could it be just his specific lifestyle? Those are all factors.
His metabolism burns glucose more efficiently.
Right. And as a personal individual, so all of us and even the listener hearing this right now needs to think about what actually works best
right.
for them.
And what's your goal? Like
exactly.
what's your health and your body goal? Are you super, super skinny? And you're trying to gain muscle, okay, well, we can have a conversation about that. You're going to need to do this one thing, and that's going to be vastly different than the person who's overweight and has acne and is trying to heal those things.
Right.
You're going to have a completely different recommendation from me. So it all depends, and it's a spectrum. And I don't like the all or nothing idea, because that gets too into the woke
and
world
again,
for me.
And that's duality.
I was just about to say that is the duality. So it's either one side or the other. And we want the higher perspective, that the godly perspective, which is everything in moderation, and do what works for you personally, because all truths have some truth.
Yep.
And my truth might not be true for you. So that's okay. And that's really hard. It's hard for me sometimes, because it gets so like, Well, one person is saying that this is definitely right. And then this person is saying that this is definitely right. And you have to remember that everybody is individually right. And my biggest problem is I just want the semantics of it. I want to make sure everybody's like, having that little asterisk at the end of their sentence saying like, but by the way, this just works for me. And we don't have, right. that's too much to ask. It's right. okay to accept everyone saying that this is right and this is right for me. And they don't have to clarify that. It's exactly. up You're to right. you You're individually.
Right. Yeah. It's the intuition. And that's what makes someone awake, is by looking at someone else's proclamation, and instead of getting offended exactly. and being like, oh, well, I think this is better, just at least be like, oh, wow, that worked for you. Very cool. Like, here's exactly. maybe I'll try it if I need it. But I would never look at someone who is metabolically healthy, doesn't have anything going on, and be like, you shouldn't be eating grains.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're overweight and you don't know what's going on and you've tried a million things, then I might be like, hey, maybe.
Or your thyroid's not working.
Yes.
Your
there's hormones so much. Are messed up. But there's so many other things. Yeah, there's so many things too. It's like, some people may not need to change their diet. They might just need to change their exercise routine.
Right.
Some people may need to change their sleep routine. There's so much that goes into this whole primal thing. And that's why it's not linear. It's like a circle that's...
It's a mm-hmm. spiral.
Yeah, it's a spiral. And you go back and forth and you ebb and flow. And there's... Yeah, it just depends.
This was great.
Such a good conversation.
This was a great conversation. Chas, do you have any like final questions you'd want clarified at like a wrapping up situation?
Yeah, I feel like you asked a lot of questions and then I just went on a tangent.
No, you answered them perfectly. You did perfectly.
The questions weren't made to be answered directly. Right. They were made to open up a conversation to help people understand your perspective. Like, that's what this is about. And
we is me.
How do you see the world? And my questions were just based on that sounds interesting. So viewing it from your lens.
Mm-hmm. And my own experience that I have had also is what has led me in this direction. And I know there's a lot of people out there that deal with the same things I dealt with. So that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to get it out there with the podcast. And I know it's not going to work for everybody.
For sure.
And I know some people might listen and hate me. So I'm like,
who cares?
That's
who
cares? So I'm like, that's fine, because you'll attract the people that need you.
So where can our listeners find you? What's your socials?
So I only have Instagram. And it's rootedwellness.primallife on Instagram.
And that'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. So that's where everything is, with the health education and the podcast. And I have the link for my podcast and everything there.
And your podcast, just one more time, what's it called?
It's Primal Life Podcast. But it also, I changed the name. It was Rooted Wellness Primal Life.
Yeah.
But I think if you still look that up, you'll find it. Okay. But it's like Primal Life Podcast.
For sure. But that'll also be in the show notes, and you can just click down there if you'd like to find her. Do you have any like closing statements that you would like to end on?
I don't know. I think the main thing that I definitely want to get out there is that health is like this linear thing. And it's not all just food, and it's not all just exercise. It's that whole, or not linear, I said linear, the spiral thing.
Yes.
So it's like everything has to go together. So you can be exercising like crazy, but be lacking in the food area. You can, right. vice versa. You could be getting really good sleep, but also be sitting at work all day long. So it's like this balance that you have to find, and the balance is different for everybody. So I guess the main thing is just always question when it comes to health, because people that are trying to sell things most of the time may not always have the
best interest
in mind. So to be awake is to question, why would they be pushing that on me? Like fake meat, which is a whole nother
for sure.
That's topic, which I feel like
you should do an episode on fake meat.
So there's all that kind of stuff. So it's sort of like, just do the research about what got us here as humans, which my podcast talks a lot about, and just figure out what works best for you without clinging or bias or
judgment.
Ego or judgment.
Love that.
And just eat food.
I love that. This
eat
is
real
great.
Food.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to do our other episodes later.
Yeah.
But we will see our listeners then.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go, boys. Like,